In the name of God, who made us and who has redeemed us and who will make us new. Amen. The 14th verse of the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Someone once told the son of Winston Churchill, "Your father is the most brilliant off-the-cuff speaker in the world." "Yes, he is," said Randolph Churchill, "and I've often seen him taking 5 or 6 hours to prepare these off-the-cuff speeches." Preparation is the secret. My wife sometimes makes wedding cakes. And for me, that means you start with the flour and the sugar and the fruit and get going. But not if you know how to make wedding cakes, because preparation is the secret. You have to talk to the bride and listen to what she wants, and then suggest to her what might be common sense. And then say, "Is your husband to be even vaguely interested in this?" And then she's to draw diagrams, and she's to look at pictures on the internet, and she's to make wee shapes with sugar flowers. And only when she's thought and drawn and practiced and done her preparation, only then do you get the flour and the sugar and the butter. It's all in the preparation. When you see it, you know the difference between a shoddy piece of joinery and a beautiful piece of work. Preparation is the secret. So what then is likely to be the secret of a good Christmas? This time we are in now, Advent is for Christians to be the preparation for Christmas. And in many houses, including ours, that includes some pretty secular kinds of preparation, like every year we have a discussion, will we have a change from turkey this year? And every year we have turkey. What about Christmas present? How are you getting on with your preparation? I know a woman who had all her Christmas presents wrapped before December began. What about cards? Are you among the people who still send cards, as I am? And if you are, you'll know that the pressure's beginning to build up now about cards. A woman who was very last minute about her cards found 2 days before Christmas that she still had 19 to write, so she rushed out down to the post office. She bought 2 packets of 10. She got her address list with her, and there and then in the post office she wrote these 19 cards, licked, stamped, posted. Great sigh of relief. She'd one card left in her hand, so she casually opened it to read the verse, which said, "This pretty card has come to say a little gift is on its way." Preparation in church is the secret for Christmas as well. In St. John's, you don't sing many Christmas hymns before Christmas, and the idea behind that is that it will help build up the preparation, build up the longing and the excitement when at last you do sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Come All Ye Faithful," a sense of preparation. Many churches have special services. Christmas watch night service I've noticed more and more congregations are having blue Christmas services, when near the longest night of the year, they have a service of quiet reflection, especially to help people for whom this will be no happy Christmas, who struggle at Christmas time, providing a way for them to be part of Christmas that doesn't make them feel more excluded than ever. Advent candles will be lit, 3 this Sunday, eventually. And each one often stands for a particular Advent theme: hope, joy, peace, love. And special Advent prayers being said all these Sundays as churches and this congregation make their preparation for Christmas. Preparation is the secret. God was making divine preparation for Christmas. Preparation for the birth of the Messiah, preparation for the coming of the Word made flesh. You might say that the whole of the Old Testament can be seen as Christians, as preparation for the Christmas event, for the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. One New Testament writer says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Have you heard the music of Handel's Messiah? Handel uses an interesting way of thinking about the Bible as preparation for the birth of Jesus, because he chooses selected verses from the Old Testament which seem to point particularly to the event of Bethlehem. We read some of the verses that he sets to music this morning. And as you hear them, sometimes you just can't help hearing the music behind them, the incomparable: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Can you hear it? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But these verses that Handel uses are only part of the promise for the preparation for Jesus, which is the Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament. The great theme of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, the great theme of it, is God's faithfulness in the midst of human disobedience. So God calls his people out of slavery in Egypt, calls them out into a land of promise, and commands them to be his special covenanted people. And God remains patient and loving and trying to turn his people from the ways of darkness which they choose, and that should be no surprise to you and me because we are the same, from the ways of darkness that they choose. Will they come back to the light of life? Will they return to God? Or will they continue to ignore and betray and disobey? Or will some of them come back? Or will a remnant, a tiny group, return to the God who's loved them and made them his own? Over and over, the prophetic voices say that to the people, until at last, a little girl called Mary is confronted by a messenger from God, you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And Mary replies, be it unto me according to your word. And she sings out, tell out my soul, the greatness of the Lord and her son. Her son, the one true Israelite, great David's greater son, is born at Bethlehem to be the perfect servant and the bright morning star and true son of God. As we sang a moment ago, the race that long in darkness pined have seen a glorious light. The people dwell in day who dwelt in death's surrounding night. And for many people, that will be the end of the story. They come to church on Christmas Eve, and I rejoice that lots of non-churchy people do come to church on Christmas Eve. Come to church on Christmas Eve, and they sing Still the Night, and they're warmed by the baby Jesus. And that's the end of the story. But it's not the end of the story. And it's not the end of the story for you and me who want to call ourselves Christians. Because Christmas is not the end of the story. Christmas itself is part of the preparation. Christmas is part of the preparation that God has been making since before the start of time, to heal the world and make you his own. We've said preparation is the secret, and Christmas is the preparation. We read this morning, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. But that glory is not Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That too is preparation. The glory of God is not only a helpless, speechless, powerless baby. We beheld his glory, and we saw a blind man being touched by the hands of Jesus and heard him say, I was blind, but now I can see. We beheld his glory when we saw Jesus eating and drinking and having fun with those with whom no respectable person would have a thing to do. We beheld his glory when we heard Jesus saying to those battered and bruised and defeated by life, come to me and I will give you rest. We beheld his glory when over and over again we saw people coming to Jesus and going away knowing that their sins were forgiven. We beheld his glory when he scorned the political and religious leaders of his day and outraged, declaimed against their hypocrisy and their exploitation of the poor. We beheld his glory when he, Jesus, stood alone, alone before all the might of the Roman Empire. And what you see was him standing, solitary king of all the world, while Pontius Pilate squirms before him. Christmas is only the preparation. It's only the beginning of seeing his glory. We beheld his glory when, after supper, he took bread and wine and said to his friends, "This is my body. This is my blood. And I tell you, it's for you." We beheld his glory when they raised him up and nailed him on a tree, and with a great cry he shouted, "It is finished." When was it that we beheld his glory? Once, a weeping woman in a garden on a Sunday morning met a man, and suddenly she knew this was the one she had known and loved. This was the crucified one, dead and dead no more. And he said to her from the grave, "Mary." And at last, the preparation is over, and the healing of the world has begun. Amen. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and always. Amen.